Joining us now, the voice of the Utah State Aggies. Of course, you hear him on the station every day from noon to 3 as well. The one and only Scott Girard. What's up, Scotty G?
You know, there's nothing better than getting a burger at JCW's, getting the cheese fries. There was an establishment that had a world-famous dipping sauce. This is the dipping sauce at JCW's is better, in my opinion. And just drenching those fries in that stuff, getting a shake that's as big as somebody's head. I mean, come on, let's go. Let's do this, right?
Can I ask you, though, did you do the steakhouse that all the NBA players go into in Indiana last night? I know you are not afraid to try a nice meal on the road. Did you go to the steakhouse?
You're referring to St. Elmo's. And, Ben, I am ashamed to admit that, yes, not only did I go last night, but I also went on Wednesday night, too.
Oh, good for you. Well, tell me about it, because, like, there's, like, three or four restaurants in the NBA where, like, everybody goes when they're in town. That's the one I think talked about the most.
Valters is on that list, too, I think.
It absolutely is. And there's another one in Atlanta that we can't talk about.
Yeah, yeah. St. Elmo's is I'd been there before about, it's probably been about 10 or 11 years ago. And I was like, oh, that's a really, you know, it was good. And then I got invited with a group on Wednesday night, I made a reservation for last night, and then got a cool little invite to go on Wednesday night. So I'm like, well, I'll knock it out. The bone-in ribeye is single-handedly the best steak I've ever had in my life. Huh. And I don't like being the guy that says, oh, this is the best ever, blah, blah, blah. But it is. It just is. It's absolutely incredible. But to top it off, it's not just the steak. They have a shrimp cocktail that will blow your sinuses into the next zip code. Like, they put, like, shaved horseradish in it. It's not the most appealing-looking thing when you get into it. But that horseradish sauce will just destroy you in one of the most perfect ways possible. It is incredible.
Scotty, what did Utah State do to the selection committee to deserve such a tough matchup in the first round for a Utah State team that won the dang league? I know we've been complaining about this all week, but I just can't get over it. Win the Mountain West, a good league, win it outright. And you get TCU in the first round for your reward. It's brutal.
Well, I did the mock selection committee about a decade ago. In fact, that's when I last went to St. Elmo's, and I remember the committee chair at the time was telling all of us media honks out there, and he said, "Hey, we want all of you to know as we bring you into this process, we do not take past performances into consideration. We do not take tradition into consideration when we're seeding these teams." And we all laughed at him then, and you laugh at him now, because the Mountain West traditionally does not do well in the NCAA tournament. There have been multiple bids many times, obviously never six. And so what the committee not only told Utah State but told the rest of the Mountain West Conference outside of San Diego State, San Diego State has the same seed in the NCAA tournament as they had in the Mountain West Conference tournament, a five seed. And yet here they are, again, in the NCAA as a five seed, which shows you that the committee was like, okay, you know what? Everybody not named San Diego State, we're going to let you in. You get your cake, but you don't get to eat it. So we'll give you your six teams that you've been barking about, but we're going to give you a horrible seeds across the board, which Colorado State should not have been an at-large, or should not have been a play-in team. Boise State should not have been a play-in team. Nevada should have been a little bit higher. Like, those are seeds that should not have been where they were, but yet, because of past performance, which hasn't been great, and as of right now isn't great again, with Boise losing and Nevada having a complete meltdown and Colorado State looking dreadful for the most part against Texas, I understand it. I get it. But doesn't mean you have to like it. And Utah State has not won an NCAA tournament game since 2001. They've lost 10 straight opening round games that they'll try to snap tonight. So, again, I understand it. I don't like it. I think Utah State should have deserved a higher seed. I think their body of work deserved at least a six or a seven seed. But they'll take the eight, and they'll go with it. I wish that they were playing Northwestern in that 8-9 game instead of what they have tonight in TCU watching this Northwestern game. But here we are.
What? Because there's the 10 or the 0-10 streak now for Utah State, But because it's spread over a few coaches and it's kind of become a hotbed for coaches to come in and find great new jobs after that, what type of pressure is there for Utah State to win this game? Like, does it feel like you have to get a win here if you're Utah State as a program?
A little bit. I think if I were to ask Danny Sprinkle that, he would say no. But I do think that there's pressure on the program to try to find a way to get a win, especially when you're wearing your home whites, meaning you're a top eight seed. Like, you know, those are games you need to win. When you come in as an 11 or a 12, and most of those games that Utah State played in this 10-game losing streak, they were an 11, a 12, a 13. There were a couple of 15s in there that you're just not going to win those games you more often than not. It's just not going to happen. But when you're an 8 seed, you got to play better. And Utah State was an 8 seed in Sam Merrill's junior year, and they got ran off the court by Washington and Matisse Thybul. And that can't happen tonight. Utah State's got to be better. They've got to be. They've got to hang in there with that TCU team. And they just, you know, the last three games they played, they've lost those games going away in the tournament. And tonight is a night that Utah State, I'm not saying they need to win this game, but they need to have a good showing. They need to play well. I think they will. They're a confident bunch. Being around them the last couple days, it seems like they're fairly confident in what they can do and how they can handle this game tonight. But they need a good showing tonight, not just for themselves, but to show the rest of the country that Utah State can hang with anybody.
You mentioned that Utah State hasn't won since 2001, and not necessarily to go down this road, but I see all this stuff. It's the four-year anniversary of the pandemic and the reaction to it. And, of course, that happened right around conference tournament time and canceled the NCAA tournament. And it's really too bad, it's particularly for Utah State, because they just won the Mountain West Conference tournament. But they had two NBA guys in Nimi Keita and Sam Merrill, and they were going to have a chance to make some waves in the NCAA tournament. So let me ask you, Scotty, someone who saw all those games that year, does that team win at least one game if that tournament was played?
Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously it depends on the matchup, but I have little doubt in my mind that team, the way they were playing at that time, had every capability of being a Sweet 16 team, 1,000%. And I'll throw BYU in the mix. BYU was playing great basketball as well going into that thing. I think both those teams had a chance to be Sweet 16. That's one of the bigger what-ifs in Utah sports history in terms of if that pandemic doesn't hit, what that NCAA tournament would have looked like for in-state, you know, for Utah State and BYU. It's just a crying shame. And the old adage is, to make a run in the NBA or in the NCAA tournament, for the most part, you need two NBA guys. And Utah State had that in Nimi and Sam Merrill. And a fringe guy who spent a good amount of time in the G League, and Justin Bean, who was starting to figure things out as a college basketball player, too. So, I mean, you had a lot of, you know, you had a ton of talent on that team. Namish Keita had that knee injury. He was finally healthy and playing how we expected him to play. Sam was playing out of his mind. And, yeah, I mean, it's just a crying shame that team didn't have a chance to go into the tournament.
Scotty, we appreciate you. We will be listening tonight. What time would you guess tip-off will actually be? I know it's scheduled for 7:55, but it'll probably be, 8:15?
Yeah, but the game before it is the Purdue 16-1 game. So I would assume Purdue will probably mop the floor with whatever group
That'll
of shoe clerks are
bit.
Playing as the 16 seed. So so I got to imagine that they'll – by the way, I stole that line from you. I've used that line for so many years.
I know. I love
you.
It still. It's so good.
But no offense to any shoe clerks out there. But, yeah, I
Fine
think
profession.
Utah – I think it'll be 7:55, maybe a little bit later, but for the most part, we should be able to start on time. We'll have a little bit of an earlier start time on the pregame. We'll start about 7:15. I got interviews with Andy Hill, the assistant coach, obviously Danny Sprinkle, some of the players as well. So we'll have it all ready for you from top to bottom, man. We're going to blow it up and have a good time tonight and hopefully do it again on Sunday.
Thank you, Scotty G. You're
have
the best.
Have a good call, Scotty. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. A vanilla-based caramel shake with cookie dough in it for me.
Ooh, that sounds
fantastic. Hands likes the chocolate base. I'm more of a vanilla base kind of guy, but Hands goes chocolate. I prefer the vanilla ice cream for my shake base.
Yeah, well, what does Hans know? I agree with you, Scotty. Team Vanilla.
Hans knows a lot, actually, when it comes to that place.
when it comes to food and chicks.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Scotty. You're the best.
You got it.
The great Scotty G, voice of the Utah State Aggies, and, of course, here from noon to 3 right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.